Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship, College Park. So glad that you are here this morning. A few announcements we'll make as we prepare for worship. First off, we'd like to find out who is here today. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad. Write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person, when you're done, send it back to where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. If you're the only one on your pew, that's a lot of instructions just for you. Reminder, we are having children's time today. Invite all the kids to come down for just a few moments. We are very close to finishing our prayer partners. We only got seven left, and they're all teenagers. They're not college students. They're not children. I understand teenagers scare me too, but their parents need your prayers. So let's finish up if you can't help me with that. Sunday schedule as normal. Couple of things draw your attention to that's in your bulletin. Some are not in your bulletin, but today we are having our final training session for Spark, our Wednesday night ministry with youth. It will be downstairs in the youth kitchen. Lunch is provided. Bob Doty's workshop, open house at Habitat, is Saturday at 10:30. So we want you to come be a part of that. Mary, come on.
Sunday night, October 4th at 6 p.m. in Smith Hall, we will be having a concert by Denver Bierman. Denver is the band leader and singer for Denver and the Mile High Orchestra. He does a really fun combination of scat, big band, 70s funk, lots of horns, and lots of fun. We invite you to join us. A love offering will be collected that night, but we will meet at 6 o'clock, October 4th in Smith Hall. A lot of fun will be had.
Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, we're showing a wonderful award-winning film called Little Boy. So come to Smith Hall, 3 o'clock, refreshments provided, and it's for everybody. Be sure also to sign up with me for October 19th when we go to Brook Ridge for Lunch and Learn. Jason Cogden will be there. We'll talk about legal issues for seniors. So be sure to sign up as soon as you can. And also we have a few openings for our trip October the 10th. When we go to Withville. So let me know those things. Thank you.
One final announcement. This Friday is the Circle of Prayer round for the Forsyth Prison and Jail Ministry. We've talked about that in recent weeks, but if you're not aware of that, several churches from around our area, people will be coming, gathering around downtown jail and circling it in a group for prayer time. Our church will be taking a bus. We're leaving at 5:30 out of the parking lot. If you're not able to get the bus, we're going to meet at 5:45 at 2nd and Church Street and then make their way to the circle. We do need to know who is coming. So if you can call the church office in the morning and let us know if you're going to be a part of that this coming Friday night, that would be very helpful. And let us know if you want to ride the bus at that time as well. I think that's all the announcements. We want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. Thank you so much for giving us your information on the pew pad a moment ago. We appreciate that information. If you're a guest, we'd like to give something to you. So just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers are coming down the aisles now. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. Are you excited to be in worship? If somebody walked in the room, could they tell we were excited for worship? Because imagine coming into the very presence of God and not giving a smile, not giving a shout of praise, not saying thank you Let us prepare for worship with everything we have, including our smiles. Pray with me. Father, this is holy ground because you are here. This is holy ground. Thank you for letting us be in your presence. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you. Thank you for the opportunity to sing your praises, to hear your word proclaimed, and to have our lives transformed. That's our prayer for this time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite all the kids. I think most of us are here. All right. I have a surprise. Okay, just a little surprise. But when I say go, without bumping into each other, without pushing and like we normally do when we get in a line, I need for you to get in a line from me and facing this way, a straight line down the aisle facing Miss Mary. Okay, see Miss Mary? She's going to wave at you. See? It's amazing how that happens. All right, so when I say go, I want you to get in a line facing me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I say go. Ready, go. Oh, whoa. What? Now, what? Stand up, in a line, in a line. There we go. Okay, very good. Now, why did everybody go for the first position? And why did my kid get the first position? Okay. Yeah, I don't like for him to get knocked over. Now, but, here's what happens. I have some candy here, and I just wanted to give you some. But I think I'm going to start in the back. All right? you can pick whatever candy. Now, you can't eat this until after church. Pick a color. All right? You can pick one. Pick one. Yeah. Okay, there's only like three choices. Okay. One. I'm going to pick for you. One, two. Okay. All right. Pick. Hold. There we go. All right. Good job. Come sit back down. Come sit back down and put that on the floor because this is going to melt. All right. We're not eating it now. Put it back in here. We'll switch. I'll give you another one. All right, sit down. No, you're not. You've already got yours. Sit down. I'm going to take all your candy. I'm going to take it all. I'm going to take it all. All right, sit down. Now, what did I just do? Who did I put the candy on the floor so it doesn't melt in your hand? Put the candy on the floor. Put the candy on the floor. Yep. So what happened? So who did I give the first piece of candy to? Who was the was it the first person in line? Or was it the last person in line? It was the last person. Was that silly? Shouldn't it be the first person? Shouldn't it be the first person? Don't we always want to be the line leader, right? We want to be the first ones. Well, there's a really important story that Pastor Raymond is going to talk about this morning. And Jesus said, the first will be last, and the last will be first. Oh, I knew. It is so confusing. Do you know what that means? Here's what it means. And I'll give you an example. Have you ever been on the playground and wanted to play on something, some kind of toy, and somebody else wanted it first? Have you ever done that? And they pushed to get in the front of the line? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes, or you're playing with a particular toy, right? And you want to play with it, and somebody else wants to play with it, and you get into some kind of argument, or you're fussing, or you're not nice to each other. Sometimes. But what Jesus says is, you put the other person first, and what you want to do comes last. That's what Jesus said. Sometimes it doesn't always make sense, but we want to like other people and be nice to other people, so we let them play with our toys first, because guess what? We'll have a chance to play with that toy later, won't we? You could play another toy. It's talking about sharing. It's putting other people, saying how important they are to you. Sure, you can go on the monkey bars first. Sure, you can play with my favorite toy first. That is what it means to put other people first, and you and me come last. That's hard to do, but that's what Jesus talks about. Can you pray with me? God, thank you so much for the example that Jesus gave. He put himself last and us first. Help us to do the same thing. To see all the people that need to know how much you love them. Help us to share your love with them in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back to your seat.
Powerful lesson for today. The reading today is found in James chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, going through 4:10, if you would like to follow alone in your Bible or in the pew Bible in front of you. First, Let's hear about two kinds of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes down from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Now, let's hear about submitting ourselves to God. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet but cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because of asking with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he calls to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Would you please go with me to God in prayer? In this powerful passage, and then what we'll hear later as Raymond shares with us, we are reminded that as we walk in a humble state in relationship with you, O God, you make all things right. Relationships, desires, goals, our lives. If we humble ourselves under your wisdom, which is a divine, wonderful, encompassing heavenly wisdom far above what we can imagine, if we humble ourselves before you, you will work through and in us to use us for your glory and to bring us in right relationship with each other. We thank you for transformed lives that come from your presence within. We thank you for the power that works in us and through us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that allows us to have right relationships with each other, to put others first, to pray for all good to come to them, to lift them up and exalt them, to serve each other. You give us the power to do that. You transform our humanity. You transform all those things within us that would perhaps go against that thought. Only you can cause us to love each other the way we need to. Only you, with that perfect love, can build bridges where there's walls. Only you, God. We must submit to you. And out of that submission comes meaning and purpose and fulfillment, forgiveness and grace and joy. So, Father, today we submit to you. Thank you for forgiveness and grace through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the joy that then comes when we receive that. Thank you for life in you that keeps on giving so that you can use us as channels of your grace and love and joy to other people. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the promise of another season, for a beautiful one that displays all the glory of the nature that you created. We thank you for the opportunity to be here and worship together in freedom and just the ability to come when we want to and to praise your name. Lord, that I ask that you be with us this week to help us be your eyes, your hands, and your feet. And thank you for all of the many blessings you have given us. In the name I pray. Amen.
Oh, Beautiful piece. Our passage of Scripture for today has already been more than adequately introduced by Jeff and the children. It is a passage of Scripture that's quite familiar to us, and as is often the trap for preachers, when we have a familiar passage of Scripture, we feel the pressure to somehow present it in some new and enlightening fashion, you know? We need lots of aha moments that they'll leave saying, oh, I never knew that about that passage. As many times as I've read it and heard it, I've never heard it preached that way. That's the trap. You're not going to get it, sorry. But I will tell you this. As I was studying this week, I had a lot of help. Disciple Study Bible has some great commentary on this passage. Reverend Steve Tim has some good commentary on it. Interpreter's Bible has some great, just about everywhere you read, you find really good nuggets, good stuff about this passage of Scripture. The children kind of had their own little nuggets, literally, that was associated with it. But as I read it, I thought, you know, we live in a culture where we want lines, don't we? We want first and last. We want to tidy it up. And even though Letterman retired, you know, the whole top 10 list is still out there. You can just about every time on the announcement of CNN or whatever, your little banners come across on your emails or whatever, there's some new top 10 list. And I wanted to give you one of my own today. It was inspired by a trip I made last week up to the mountains. And so I went online and I found a site, Planetware, does some tourism type top 10 list. And I found the top 10 rated tourist attractions in the state of North Carolina. So I thought that would be very helpful for our discussion this morning. Even if it's not, bear with me. Number 10, the NASCAR Hall of Fame. How many have been there? I haven't either. Okay. Good. I'm glad to know at some level. I'm really glad to know that. Number 9, the Outer Banks. Have you been there? Oh, yeah. I wish you could have seen the slides I showed in 9 o'clock. Had this beautiful sunset with the lighthouse. It was gorgeous. And I've been there, seen that. Beautiful. That's number 9. So you've got to imagine, what's better than that? Well, they say number 8 is the North Carolina Zoo. Okay, I can understand that. Yeah, you've been there? Yeah, I've been there, done that. How about number 7 was the North Carolina Aquarium? Have you been there? What? Well, now, if you've been to the zoo, you got to go to the aquarium, right? I mean, equal time, right? Number 6, Grandfather Mountain. Seen the bears? Yeah, I went up there. The bridge and all that. Yeah, okay. That's number 6. Number 5, near and dear to my heart and also near and dear to our home place in Hendersonville, Chimney Rock State Park. You been there? See, now a lot of people have been there. I see it's back to being a state park now, so you need to go see it. It's fascinating. And if you're of able mind and body, when you get to the top, you can run along the trails and pretend like you're in the movie Last of the Mohicans, because that's where it was filmed up there. So that's at Chimney Rock. Number 4, Linville Gorge and Falls. Been to Linville? Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. I understand why it's in the top 4. Number 3, Morehead Planetarium and Science Center. I haven't figured out how anything related to UNC could be in the top 10, but don't write me letters. I'm just kidding. We saw a beautiful Christmas presentation down there last year about the stars and the thing. Again, it was puzzling. I didn't know they knew Christ or Christmas in Chapel Hill, but I couldn't let it go. Number 3, Morehead Planetarium, and I am just kidding, okay? Number 2, top-rated tourist attraction, North Carolina. You're getting close. Lexington. Lawrence says Lexington Barbecue. It should be. But number 2 is USS North Carolina Battleship. Have you been there? I mean, go down there anytime. Just drive by there, and you'll see people lined up. I mean, it's all the time. They want to go see the battleship. Number 1, top-rated tourist attraction, North Carolina. I heard it a minute ago. Biltmore House. Biltmore House and Gardens. Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. We Americans love our list. We love our lines. From the top 10 places to visit in the state to the top 10 worst healthcare states. You know, we love to rank things. I mean, we really do. And then we, after we rank them, We like to engage in debate when somebody else's list is different from ours, don't we? The translation on that is obviously yours is wrong. So let me convince you that mine's right. You know, you don't have to look any further in that regard than the phenomenon that we call the NFL draft. It starts months. It's already started now for next spring's draft about the players that will be coming out next spring. And it goes on for months where all the pundits and the quote experts have these mock drafts that they've put up, and this player is going to do this and this. He's going to be drafted here. Then they have their pro days and they go, oh, wait a minute. Okay, that's not as impressive as we thought. He probably won't go here. So it goes on and on. By the time the actual draft day comes around, fans are just in an absolute frenzy to find out who's going to go first. And some of them just keep watching for three straight days until the last pick has been made. I don't get that at all. I don't get that part. It gets really boring on into. I guess if I had a friend who was draft worthy, I'd stay with it. You know, you want to stay, even if it's down into the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, it doesn't matter. We're going to stay with him until we see him drafted or not. Well, Jesus understood the natural inclination toward rankings. He got that. He understood that. And yet, in our passage of Scripture today, he says the first must be last, must be servants. It's strange language for us in our society. The lectionary reading actually picks up at verse 30, and I wondered why, but I kind of know, because it kind of seems like it starts in a strange place. But let me start in verse 30. It's in Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 30 and going down through verse 37. It said, they left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where he was because he was teaching his disciples. I could preach you a sermon just on that verse. The time that Jesus took his disciples and wanted to be just with them. It was teaching time. It wasn't ministry time for the masses. It was with his inner circle, with his disciples. And he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. They didn't have a clue what he was talking about. Verse 32 says, but they did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him about it. Yeah. Verse 33, they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Yeah, it was time to spend a little teaching time with the disciples for sure. Verse 35, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. Then he took a little child and had him stand among them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Some good stuff in there. If you read on, and I won't, but glance down through there, we don't see their reaction to what he just taught. The Scripture doesn't tell us how they reacted to it. John kind of changes the subject. Teacher, we saw a man driving out demons in your name. We told him to stop because he was not one. They don't really have any reaction. I don't think they got it. It doesn't tell us how they responded to these words, but when we read them in church today, somehow they fail to surprise us. Even though our lives hardly ever align with what Jesus was saying, there still seems to be no shock about these words. We would never, for example, going back to our analogy of the draft, we would never expect for the last player picked on the third day, the very last player to get the highest salary while the number one draft pick got the lowest, although that would be really cool one year, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, not probably for the mama of number one, but I'm saying, you know, that would be, we just don't expect that. That is so far out of our frame of reference, it seems impossible. And yet, when Jesus talks about the first becoming the last of all, we kind of yawn and, oh, heard that. Okay, move on, preacher. Heard that. For one thing, most of us have heard that. We've heard it numerous times. You know, it's not the first time it's been in the lectionary. It's not. We read a similar account in Matthew where Jesus says in chapter 19, verse 30, many who are first will be last, and the last will be. Yeah. Moreover, we've known since he was born that Jesus would be the human embodiment of a God who, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 52 and 53, it says, the God who has brought down the powerful from their thrones, lifted up the lowly, he's filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty. So this is not a foreign concept. And by the things that Jesus said in his sermons, and by his reputation as one who spent time with sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, all of the outcasts, by doing all of that, Jesus has certainly lived up to the expectation, both in his teaching and his actions. And yet, do we really know what this phrase means? First should be last, last should be first. What does that mean for us? What does it really mean? And do we really believe it in spite of the fact that so many examples of this world teach us otherwise? Do we really believe it? Well, let's be real for just a moment. Think about it. In our world, who are the first? Who are the last? Who are the first? Who are the last? Is it about economics? Maybe the first being the richest while the last are the poorest? Somehow I doubt it because I've met wealthy people with a heart for service that puts mine to shame. And I've met poor people who aren't servants at all but are quite sinfully selfish. So I don't think that's it. So maybe is the verse about power? How about fame? Is it a reference maybe to earthly righteousness, a reversal where those who think that they're morally upright, read the Pharisees, are sent to the end of the line while the poor in the spirit get bumped up to the front? Not sure. I'm not sure we really can know who, quote, the first really are, or the last for that matter. We might assume that we know, but if we really think about it, all that we have is an assumption. We've all heard the expression of what happens when you assume. You see, an assumption is not the same as truth. So what is the truth? Perhaps it's the truth that we aren't supposed to think about being first or last at all. Maybe the point of the text isn't to get us thinking about the words first and last, but instead to set aside our top 10 list and focus on welcoming and serving all. A-L-L, all. Jesus welcomed and served all. Yeah, even those that society said were undeserving, unfit. That could be the up and outers as well as the down and outers. He served all. And to reinforce it, in my mind, it's just an incredible teachable moment. The scene changes a little bit when Christ invites the child into his circle there, into the circle of the disciples. He invites this child. That's where everything changes in the teachable moment. And it's hard for us to grasp this at first because in our society, we tend to take children and idealize them or idolize them, don't we? We really do. We really do. Not saying it's right. I'm just saying it can happen. For those of you that have grandchildren, yes, you're the guilty. No, I'm just kidding. Now, I mean, it can happen. It's easy to happen because we love them. We want them to be a part of our lives. We want to pour ourselves into them. And there's nothing wrong with that. But understand, you know, that's not the way it was in Jesus' world. That's not the way it was. I remember several summers ago, and it's been several, and time travels quickly, I know, but we had Ward Page and Matt Wilson were our interns, our summer interns. Okay? Good young men. And but the phrase for the summer, the catchphrase for the summer was, it's all about the kids. It's all about the kids. I mean, you'd hear it up and down the office. Every time we had no explanation for why something or happened or why we had decided, you know, that was the fall. But, well, you know, it's just all about the kids, preacher. It's just all about the kids. And that's the way it is in our culture to a certain extent. But it's not at all the way it was in Jesus' world. In Jesus' world, children were overlooked. Children were pushed away from the center of the crowd. Children were on the fringe, seen but not heard, and preferably not even seen at times. So Christ welcoming a child into the circle of the disciples was not a cute children's sermon. It was a radical change. It was a radical sign of welcome for those who were not normally welcome in the middle of life. He reinforced his teaching with a child. Isn't that just like God? And so often is the case, this word from Jesus, this teaching and the reinforcement of this teaching, the last shall be first, you should be a servant of all. This word from Jesus functions both as law and as gospel. It's law in that Christ is literally directing, calling us to be servants. It's stating so clearly. He let it be known very clearly. Set aside your top 10 list. Quit trying to get ahead. Worry about being a servant instead, not for the sake of currying favor with the powerful, but simply for the sake of serving all people. All people. Yet at the same time, not only being law, this is also gospel. Because what Christ asks of us, he has already done in even greater measure. Scripture tells us when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ came for the first and the last and everyone in between. And it's truly good news that we can give up. We can just turn loose of that quest to try to crack the top 10 and just be at peace. As servants, together with a God who became a servant for us. Jesus taught us, love the Lord your God with all that you have and all that you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he teaches us here, and serve everybody. Serve all. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, I have to believe that if our hearts were truly revealed here this morning, that most of us would say, yes, we really do want to be a servant. We really desire to be a servant. And yet life gets in the way. Circumstances get in the way. An affluent culture gets in the way of understanding what it really means to be Christ to another person, to be a servant of all. So, Father, we ask that in the hours and the days and the weeks that follow, that you would teach us, that you would touch our hearts, touch us at that point of selfishness and greed. Father, allow us to know you more clearly and to remember the example of your Son more vividly, so that in giving ourselves away, we become more like Christ. In giving all that we have to you and to your service, we become more like Christ. Not for our own gain, but as we let our light shine before men, they will see our works, and in turn, they will give glory to you, not to us. That's our prayer. Help us to live it. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you don't have that personal relationship with Christ, that's step number one. I invite you this morning. We'll stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about it here. Or you can call me this week. I'll meet with you. Be glad to talk with you about your relationship with the God who created you and loved you and sent His Son for you. If you are here and you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but man, I just probably haven't been living like it. You know, we're all imperfect. We're all in this journey toward grace and forgiveness. And all along the way, God extends His grace and His forgiveness. So it's together that we journey along this path. As we stand and sing, I invite you, pour your heart out to God. He already knows the areas in your life you need to give to Him. Just agree with Him and ask for His help to live accordingly. Our altar will be open. Be glad for you to come pray here. Pray where you are. I'll be glad to pray with you at the front if that's what you'd like to do. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I'd love to be a member of this church. It's a wonderful fellowship, I can tell you that. And if that is your desire, come talk with me. There's a lot of ways we receive members. We'll find a way to receive you as a member at College Park. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Ask you to do something. In a moment, we'll have our benediction, and then following that, we'll have a response by the choir. And after that, I want to encourage you to greet one another. You know, we as believers, sometimes as churchgoers, we kind of put on our sanctified face when we walk in the door, don't we? You know, when people ask us how we are, oh, fine, good, everything's fine and good. And yet, under the surface, everybody has issues they're dealing with. There's a lot of pain, there's a lot of hurt, and we don't want to make ourselves vulnerable, and so we don't share those things. And I'm not asking you to do that this morning, unless you feel led to, but when someone asks you how you are, if you're hurting, maybe be honest with them. Say, I'm kind of hurting today. Would you pray for me? Neural and I were talking before the service began, that our hearts are heavy for Rusty LaRue and his family. His son was killed yesterday. And yet, you know, that there are others that have hurt and pain in their lives this morning as well. In churches, in bars, in civic clubs, all around of America. And sometimes it just, we need to know that people care. And that they share our pain and they help us with our burdens. So take that time to do that this morning. What time is it? Are we getting out early? How'd I do this morning? It's 12 o'clock right on it. I'll pray quick and let them sing quick. That'll give you a few moments to really minister to one another. Let's do that. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your love that sustains us, that empowers us for the walk that we seek to walk to give glory to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.